Now I would like to read with you from the scriptures, first in the first book of Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 14. First book of Kings, chapter 14. We'll read at verse 1. At that time Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people." And down to verse 5. The Lord said unto Ahijah was blind, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, made thee prince over my people Israel, rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do that which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil," and so on. And down, please, to verse 12. "Arise now, therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die." Now come back with me, please, to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, and we'll read, please, from verse 28. The apostle is speaking, "And though they found about the Lord Jesus, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus, again as it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Verse 38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Now one more reading, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 book of Samuel chapter 18. Be interesting to read this whole account, but we'll just read, please, from verse 28. Nehemiah called and said unto the king, "All is well." He fell down to the earth upon his face before the king, and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimeaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant, and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept as he went. Thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." God will bless these portions of his word that we have read, and we trust comments, perhaps made briefly on them, we trust God will use them for his glory. What's upon my mind is to notice with you the subject of tidings. I think we're all interested at times in getting tidings, particularly when they're good tidings. Sometimes they're not always good. I recall 5 years ago when preaching the gospel here in this very building, just a few days after I arrived, I received tidings. They weren't very pleasant tidings. They were tidings that my dear mother had passed into eternity. She had gone home to heaven, and I would never see her face or speak to her again upon earth. Well, they were difficult tidings to receive. But we all fear sometimes when we hear tidings unless we know that they are good tidings. What we have read about in these three portions of the Word of God, we have read of heavy tidings in 1 Kings chapter 14. That's what Ahijah said to this woman. "I am come to thee with heavy tidings." I don't want to dwell too long on that because heavy tidings sometimes are not easy to bear. But then we read in Acts chapter 13 about glad tidings. And of course the glad tidings are the gospel of the grace of God that we have the privilege of preaching nightly here through these gospel meetings. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 18, we have some sad tidings. Tidings that came to the ears of the king. Tidings that made King David grieve for a son in his rebellion who had turned against him, and now who was gone forever and would never again have opportunity to get to know the God that his father David had come to know. But I want you to notice with me for a few moments these heavy tidings that we have read about in 1 Kings chapter 14. These were tidings I'm sure it was difficult for this prophet Ahijah to pass on, but it was the mind of God that these tidings come to the ears of Jeroboam. His son had fallen sick. Abijah was sick, a young lad, and of course there was quite a concern for him because naturally Jeroboam would expect him to replace him after he passed on. He would likely be heir to the throne. And so he was interested in this boy, what was going to happen. The lad was sick. And so he sent his wife. The story is there, we read it, how he sent his wife, told her to disguise herself and to go to the prophet Ahijah and find out if there was a message, if there were any tidings from the Lord. Well, I hope you come tonight to get tidings. I hope you don't get the tidings that this woman got. But the thing that I noticed about this woman is when she came to get this message, and they wanted to get a message about the lad, she disguised herself to come, thinking that she could hide her person from Ahijah the prophet. Now I want to say, God has a message for people today. But friend, listen, you can't hide from the God of heaven. People are doing everything to try and hide from the God that knows all about us, that knows our down sitting and our uprising, And the folly of hiding from God, it's just foolish altogether, because God knows exactly the thoughts of every heart. He knows the motives of a heart. He knows the way that men go. And there's nothing will hinder a person from getting God's salvation like dishonesty of heart. And if you want a message from God tonight that will bring salvation to you, there must be honesty of heart. You can't cover up from God. That's the reason why many people don't get saved, is because they're not honest in their heart before God. Remember the words of David the psalmist in his remorse in Psalm 51. He said, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts." And David recognized that what God was looking for was the expression of a heart that was real and honest and ready to confess what he was in God's sight. Now, we're living in a day and age when there's lots of disguise around us today. This world of fashion that we're living in, this world of cosmetics, this world of plastic surgery, and all that kind of thing. People want to hide the fact. Some would like to hide the fact that age is creeping up on them. It happens. The years pass by and we can't do anything about it. Some would like to change their looks so that they might look a little better. Some would doll up so that they could be fashionable in the world in which we're living. But friend, all that is superficial. And all the outward thing, God sees beyond all that. Man looks on the outward appearance. God is looking in the heart. And he knows the heart of every man and woman, every boy and girl in this gospel meeting tonight. He knows where you stand as far as the things of God are concerned. He knows whether you really want salvation in your soul. He knows whether you're honest about it. And there was never a soul that was honest about getting God's salvation that didn't find it, because God always hears the cry of an honest soul. That's why, as we were hearing from our brother last night, lots of people have got down before God and they said, "Have mercy upon me." They prayed the sinner's prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Well, that's a good prayer. But if it doesn't come from an honest heart, you might as well talk to the wall. God isn't interested in a heart that's dishonest. And you can't disguise yourself from God. Adam and Eve couldn't hide behind the trees of the garden. God knew exactly where they were, even though he asked the question. He didn't ask it because he didn't know where they were. "Adam, where art thou?" He asked it so that Adam and Eve would expose themselves and come out and admit that they were trying to hide from God and be honest with him. When you think of a soul at stake for eternity, it's madness to try and hide from the God of heaven. Heavy tidings. What was the result of these heavy tidings? Well, we know what caused the heavy tidings. It was Jeroboam's sin. And sin always brings heavy tidings. And friend, we can't come to you with this matter of sin, and we must talk about sin at least in some measure to point out that this is the reason why there are heavy tidings. The judgment of God will always follow sin. The soul that sinneth, it must die. And just as sure as day follows night, and night follows day, friend, judgment will follow you in your sins if you die without Christ and without a Savior. So it was heavy tidings for Jeroboam. Sin. Sin is a terrible thing. It's sin that separates from the presence of God. It's sin that divides sinners from the God of heaven. It's sin that interferes with the peace of God in the souls of men and women. It is sin that necessitates the pardon of God. And whichever way you look at it, friend, sin always brings heavy tidings. To Jeroboam, there were really three messages to Jeroboam. We read two of them. One message for Jeroboam was the fact that he was going to be replaced. God was going to take the kingdom away from him. He was going to lose it because of his sin, because of his rebellion. Another message was that Israel was going to be smitten before their enemies. And the last message, the one that they really wanted to find out about, the message that the child was not going to live. What a solemn message. Jeroboam and his wife was to come in through the door into the city. The child would not even be born. That was a solemn message. Heavy tidings. Heavy tidings. And friend, death was in the message for Jeroboam. It reminds one of that message that came to Hezekiah years later, when God said to Hezekiah, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Death is always heavy tidings. But oh friend, we don't want to weigh you down with heavy tidings, but we do want you to understand that death is the result of sin. Not just physical death, but eternal death. And if you die in your sins, you'll have no one to blame but yourself, because God has made provision for sin. And that, friend, tonight is really what we would like to spend our time telling you about. It's the good tidings, the glad tidings of the gospel. That's what the gospel is. Good news. Friend, there's good news for perishing souls today. Good news that there's a salvation that has been provided. What did the apostle say, writing to the Corinthians? He said, "I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that the third day he rose again according to the scriptures." Oh friend, what is the gospel? The gospel is the person of God's beloved Son, and a work that was accomplished at Calvary. When down from the glory, the Savior came. The gospel, friend, that tells you your sins can be forgiven. It's a gospel, friend, that tells you you can be justified. That's why the apostle said, "I declare unto you glad tidings." And what were the glad tidings? "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses." Oh, friend, what glad tidings. Glad tidings that provision has been made for you tonight. Why do you hide from God? You see, God wants to give the greatest blessing that heaven can bestow upon sinners. And I can never understand why it is that men and women hide from God. They would rather have their sin. They would rather have their pleasure. They would rather have their good times. They would rather not be interfered with when it comes to these eternal matters. And yet, friend, God wants to bestow upon every man and woman, boy and girl, the best blessing that heaven can bestow. Salvation of their soul for eternity. And friend, God wants you to have it tonight. It's good news. Salvation has been provided. And salvation, more than that, is available tonight. It may not be available tomorrow. God's salvation is available, and it's for all those who will come by simple faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Through this man, oh, there were good tidings of great joy when he came into all the angels declared it. The world didn't understand that coming into their very midst was God's blessed Son, that perfect, spotless, sinless, Holy One. And they took him outside Jerusalem and nailed him on Golgotha's tree. Oh, friend, the wonder of it all is this, that on the third day up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes, sitting at God's right hand today is a man who bears the marks of Calvary. Man who for all eternal ages, the redeemed will gaze at those wounds that he received and understand, "This is the man that loved me and gave himself for me." our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, He died upon the cross to put away your sins. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Every sin that you've ever committed, past, present, and future. Thank God there's one who can meet the need and can put away every sin. The judgment you'll never have to pass through. Judgment, we often say, God will not twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. There on Calvary, all the wrath and judgment of a righteous, holy God that you and I deserved eternally, it fell upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore in love unbounded what none can know, gloriously confounded our every soul. Thank God He paid redemption's price in drops of precious blood. And the good news tonight is that salvation can be yours, the forgiveness of sins, peace with God. Heaven is your eternal home. What could be better? Oh, I tell you, they're going in today for these lotteries and a few million dollars. I want to tell you, friend, I don't believe in them myself, but listen, I want to tell you there's something far better for men and women today. Well, it's far more than all the millions of earth. A poor woman dying in the London garret when the preacher came. And there she was, lying in her little pallet of straw with nothing hardly to eat and in very poor circumstances. He asked her of her welfare, and if there was anything he could do or get her. Ah, she said, I'll have Christ, what want I more? Friend, listen, if you have Christ, you have it made for time, and you have it made for eternity. Can't understand the poor unsaved round about us to think we're kind of oddballs or something. I want to tell you, friend, the wisest person, the most intelligent person, is the person that in wisdom comes to the foot of the cross and admits their guilt and receives the sin Savior. They get far more than they ever anticipated. And friend, after this little journey down here is over, it's an eternity with Him. Friend, glad tidings for you tonight. But listen, we read there, and I just pass on moment for a moment these sad tidings. Oh, what sad tidings came to the ears of David. A man grieving with a broken heart over a son who in his rebellion went out into eternity. Oh, I'm sure David longed. It's right in the words that he spoke. Oh, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son. I want to say tonight that there's a soul in this meeting and you're not saved. What a tragedy. What sad tidings if you were to go out into eternity without Christ. Without a Savior. Dear sister, up on the Labrador coast, she's gone through many sorrows in the last few years. One of her sons that she longed to see settled and saved, coming back with a group of young men from away up on Greenland. They've been on a fishing boat up there. And they were being transferred. They took turns going every 2 or 3 months. They were coming back and another group were going. Just after that little plane took off with 7 or 8 men aboard. Whatever happened, they don't know. The plane went down into the icy slopes of Greenland. That young man went out into eternity. Just a little while before, one of her nephews was driving down the road with a companion. They'd sat in gospel meetings, like you're sitting in tonight. They'd listened to the gospel night after night. 2 weeks later, or a week and a half later, they're driving down the road. 2 young men, They've been spending too much time with the bottle. It hit a little patch of black ice just as a truck came over the hill. The little car turned sideways. And two young men went out into eternity. Tell you about grieving woman. I was at those funerals. I want to tell you, friend, it's hard. When a young man goes out into eternity to sit and listen to the gospel, or a young woman. Maybe there's one in the meeting tonight. Sad tidings if you were to lose your soul. We could tell you many incidents. Young men who have gone out into eternity without the Savior. Oh, may God help you tonight to grasp the glad tidings. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The door is open. Salvation is free. God help you to come as this meeting continues. Trust the Savior and enjoy the blessedness of sins forgiven in heaven as your eternal home. Christmas.